focus is to discuss some physical properties and some usable properties of irregular structure that could be in acoustics, that could be also in electromagnetics. So, so the general question is how do irregular objects oscillate or vibrate? And there are several types of properties. Description of eigenmodes and or eigenfrequency, the density of states or counting function in a given resonator, and something very important here will be the amplitude distribution or localization effects which appear in all these resonators with an irregular shape, and we will see that this induces an increased damping. And also, of course, for practical application, the behavior of the modes far from the region where they do exist are very important because we want to couple some external source to this mode. So, generally, the good resonators have smooth geometry. So, like you polish microwave cavities, you want to have very smooth laser cavities to have high quality resonator. What is a good resonator in this language is a resonator which stores energy with little dissipation. For instance, if you hit a bell, it's a good resonator because after the hit, you can still hear the sound emitted by the vibration of the bell, because it dissipates energy slowly. The dissipation would be very rapid, it would simply hear something like that. Okay. So a bad resonator dissipates energy, but if you want to absorb energy, then you need perhaps a bad resonator. And so you can ask the question, what happens with irregular or even fractals as a paradigm of irregularity resonators? So you can ask the question why musical instruments are smooth and shining if they were rough. Does that would change their acoustical properties? Okay, so this is the question. So this what I will describe is a result of several years of work with many collaborators and postdocs. And the last work, which is related to these practical applications that I will describe, especially Marcel Filoche, Marc Hache, and Didier Perra, who is an engineer in the company who built the system, played a very important role. So, speaking of fractal resonators, there are two types, and I will speak only on one type. So, there are mass fractals. This was studied in the early 80s. Like you can study the vibrations of such structures, Sierpinski gasket, also the percolation cluster, and these vibration modes have been called fractal. They have shown localization property, very strong anomalies in the density of states, and this has been observed experimentally in random scattering of aerogel, the material which has a fractal structure up to some size. But I will not describe that. I will describe the property of surface fractal resonator. So a surface fractal in the language of physics is something which is not fractal, but which is bounded by a fractal. So this is the fundamental mode of a fractal Brun. So it's the solution of the Helmholtz equation, the stationary mode, the eigen mode, the lowest, with, as you can see, the amplitude is zero everywhere on the boundary. So this is with Dirichlet boundary condition. So this is the condition for Brun's. historically, so mathematicians have been worried by what they call the counting function or the density of states. So if you have an eigenvalue equation like that, The counting function n of lambda is a number of the Laplacian eigenvalues which are smaller than lambda. So this is a very old problem, and Weil in the early 90s showed that in d equal 2 you have a leading term which has this value plus correction. And the fact that it is correction may have a very an important role in, let's say, mathematics, and to find and there have been numerous works to express this correction as a function of number of corners and things like that. But in fact, this is always small. So for instance, if you would have a fractal black body, you couldn't make an experiment to make the difference between the radiation of a fractal black body and an ordinary black body, because the density of states is only slightly modified and you couldn't measure that. Now, concerning fractal system, first Michael Berry made a conjecture in 1979. He said that the correction term should go like the Hausdorff dimension divided by 2. And later it was shown by Rosser and Carmona that really this should be the Minkowski dimension. And then Michael Lapidus, and he's still working on this problem, has made exact results in 1D for, let's say, quantum type resonator. But in 2D, nothing has been really proved, although there are good numerical simulations by a group around Homologa in Australia who has shown that this is a good correction. Numerically, it works. Okay, but so this is a problem, let's say, for.
So
this
D is the dimension of the boundary?
D is the dimension of the boundary. Now, what I will discuss something else, which is how geometrical irregularity creates some localization effect, that means some confinement of the vibration in a reduced fraction of the resonator, and how this will induce increased loss, and how we can use then this geometrical irregularity to absorb energy. Now, these are computed eigenmodes for a fractal drum. So this is, so you see, it's a quarter of the first drum that I showed. So this is a fundamental mode. This is mode number 18. This is a number 36, 128. Now, there is something very interesting into this picture. You can wonder why this is, so you see this, it's very small. It's not null, but it's very small in this region. This is because with Dirichlet boundary condition, you cannot propagate a frequency with a half wavelength, in fact, larger than the size of the path that you want. So it has to decay. It becomes evanescent in some sense in this region. So there is something like a force which forbids the propagation of the amplitude from here to here, and this is true also here. But you see that for the higher modes, the half wavelength is smaller than the width of the path. And still, there is confinement or localization. So the only way to explain that is to think that if you would excite the mode in that region, so you would have the waves propagating and diffraction in this complex structure, and the overall result of everything is that for that specific frequency, you will have constructive interference in a restricted region of space and more or less destructive interference in the rest of space. So this is called weak localization. In fact, this has been observed in an experiment made in Orsay in the late 90s. So these are the numerical mode, and these are the experimental modes, and of course there is some.
So why in the pictures on the previous slide
So quarter, so sorry, I should. It's a quarter of that structure. Because
what?
This structure has a symmetry, so it, I mean.
He's wondering why in the higher modes it isn't somehow black near the boundary.
Sorry.
It looks green near the boundary, which is zero,
exactly.
Which is not zero.
Different offset.
Oh, because you know the computer makes its own scale. So this is nearly zero here.
Well,
this is positive.
Zero
this
is in the middle.
But no, because zero is not.
No, zero is made up.
Then why is it black?
Why is it black
in the front?
What is
here?
It's the lowest value.
Oh, I see. So it's changed the scale.
Yes, it changes the color scale automatically.
The slide
so
of
makes if you use that.
Whatever is on the boundary is zero.
Black
white
green.
Whatever color is on the boundary, that represents zero.
That represents zero because this is Dirichlet boundary condition. Well, you know, with the same energy in the mode, this should be way up. Because all the energy is restricted in a smaller region. So this is okay. So in fact, this is what in physics is called strong localization, and this is what in physics is called weak localization, an effect of destructive interference in some region of space. Okay, so we are interested in absorption of a mode. So and this is qualified by so-called quality factor for a given mode L. The quality factor is the ratio of the energy stored in a resonator, something like the integral of the square of the amplitude divided by the losses per cycle. So if you have small loss, we have a large quality factor. So the quality factor characterizes the time life of the energy. So if you put some energy at time t equals zero, it decays very rapidly if the if the quality factor is small. Okay.
But are you having dissipation in that differential equation or not?
Not yet.
So
No. Okay. In the for the moment we have no dissipation. And just if you would have some, let's say you keep the mode. To answer precisely. Normally, one should compute the eigenmodes taking care of the losses by introducing in the Helmholtz equation a term which is proportional, a dissipative term proportional to the velocity. What we do first, I will show you we do something else, but what we do first is to consider very weak losses. So at zero order, the modes are given by the eigenvalue of this eigenvalue equation without any loss. Okay. So this is done before because we don't want to mix to understand what's going on, the effect of localization and the effect of losses. So first there is localization. Then there is increased losses. If the losses are very strong, then you have to compute everything altogether.
So I would say that this is the losses computed in the context of linear response theory.
Yes, okay. No, anyhow, okay. So if you have a box, which has, let's say this is a resonator, so like that, so this could be this room. And how would behave this room if it would have this shape or this shape, something like that. Okay, so this is the problem we consider. So we have to solve. So really the real boundary condition is written here. There are some losses, okay? But if that these losses are characterized by a small number epsilon, which is called the reduced surface admittance. Why is there physically losses? It's because, for instance, if I speak, the acoustic waves go to the wall. You know, in the acoustic wave, you have some regions which are compressed or depressed. They are overheated or overcooled. So there is some heat transfer between the larger and the compressed and the depressed regions. So some dissipation. Well, at audio frequency, this is negligible. It's not negligible if my voice go to the wall, which has a given temperature, and because of course the acoustic velocity has some component which is tangential to the wall, so there is some viscous force and there is some dissipation. So for audio purposes at low frequency, the losses are only on the wall. And on a rigid wall, on a glass wall, on a concrete wall, you lose perhaps 1% at each reflection, so it's very small. Okay. So the zero loss eigen modes, you take this equal to zero, are given now with a Neumann boundary condition. So the zero loss eigen modes are computed with this Neumann boundary condition, and we normalize the modes in this way. And this means that each mode to be considered has the same energy, reactive energy. And if we have a distribution in space, one can compute something like the inverse. So this is normalized of the fourth power of the amplitude. And this gives you a surface. And this surface is the existent surface. It gives you more or less the size where there is action, the size where there is something really happening. So when you go from, so we consider here a shallow acoustic cavity, something which has, which is not very high like that, but which has this irregular shape. Okay, so you go from here to here to here. And for instance, if you consider the last generation, this is a third mode. So these are the amplitudes. So let's say it's positive. It's more or less like cosine. In a square, it could be a cosine function with maximum and minimum on the edge. But so here it resembles that. It goes from positive to negative by turning. And this is true. See, here there is a mode where essentially the energy goes from here to here. And if you would excite here, you would find energy only in this restricted region. This was a surprise. I mean, hadn't we made this type of pictures, one wouldn't have guessed that localization would exist in a system, because nothing prevents the acoustic pressure here to go there. Only this complex interference pattern or diffraction pattern makes it that it builds energy in a very restricted region of space.
So now what are these pictures of?
So this is the amplitude distribution in space for the third mode in the hierarchy of the eigenvalue and the mode number 64. Are only two examples shown here. And you see that the relative, on average, so there are many, many modes, but the relative existence, the surface divided by the surface of the resonator, the surface is constant here. Okay? And you can see that when you go to from the square to the first generation fractal to the second generation fractal, the general tendency is to have more localization. Not all modes are localized, but there are more and more modes which are localized and more strongly localized. So this 64 mode here belongs to these states, and this is they occupy something like a few percent of the total space available. Now, if we want to compute the losses, because as I told you, the losses. Yes?
I have a question. What's special about 64?
Nothing. It's an example.
No, but I mean, most of the modes are not going to be localized. Are they all localized? I mean,
no, they are not. I assure you. Not all. No, I said not all modes are localized. Some modes are localized.
Right.
do you think that 64 is some power of two, or? No, no, I could have taken 65 and it would be localized, because those are good. Sorry, it's just a mathematician. Large fractions of the modes are localized, and they are more and more localized when this is an empirical fact. I mean, I have no.
Okay, let me try to answer. I don't think that there's that much magic in these numbers. If you're looking at a simple example like a rectangle, and you know, and you list the eigen functions and then what pictures correspond to them, there isn't really very that much. Very much in pictures when you move farther.
Sure.
The point is that those numbers there, I mean, that they come in a certain order for arbitrary reason. I mean, that, so I just doubt that 64 has a very great significance here. It just happens that there were 63 smaller eigenvalues.
Is this 64th mode for that particular third generation fractal?
Yes. This mode will stay more or less because it will give some more details in this region and wouldn't change essentially the.
Is there a way to predict for a given energy level whether your mode is going to be localized?
It's up to you guys. For me, no. There's no reason. First, it was a surprise. Hadn't we made pictures of that because there is nothing. You realize this is, well, first, this may seem surprising. But if you draw a line, you say, what would be the frequency corresponding to that? So you would know, this is a half wavelength, you know, because it's cosine here, plus and minus. So it has some length on that graph. So it gives you a measure of the half wavelength. Now you compute the frequency, and you follow on the corresponding to that, and it is the eigenfrequency that you compute numerically within a few percent. So it's not a good picture to think that waves go like that. In fact, they may, in some structure, turn around. Now, is this a surprise? No, it's not a surprise, because the eigenfunction of the Helmholtz equation are the same as the eigenfunction of the heat equation. Now, what does it mean in terms of heat equation? Suppose that this would be a plate, and it would be prepared at time t equals zero with a little hotter here and a little cooler here. This means only that for this mode, heat flows from here to here and here to here without invading this region. In this language of heat equation, it's not so surprising. Surprising in language of wave, but we know that in fact this is the same mathematics. So, in terms of eigenmodes, there is no, it's not such a surprise. It is still a surprise, but.
It is still a surprise. Why doesn't it invade? Why doesn't it leak out when it's flowing?
Because of destructive interference,
which I think is more surprising in the language of the heat equation.
Yes, okay.
See, there is an azimuthal symmetry, you guys, for a given. So I guess the functions that you've drawn at the radius.
Yeah, they obey these functions, obey the symmetry. These are the basis for the symmetry group of that system. And this is, you're right, they do.
Is there
type of clustering which is just in between chaotic drums, and there are some. I mean, this has been studied. I won't measure, I don't discuss that here. Now, under the assumption of weak losses, you can compute the losses using the lossless eigenfunctions. So the losses occur on the wall. So they are proportional to the energy. It's a fraction of the energy. So the square of the amplitude, which is here. Okay. So let me just come back to that. Suppose that this room would have this shape, and I would sit here and emit a sound, not my voice, which is at the frequency spectrum, but at exactly the frequency of that mode. So you could be there, see me, and do not hear me. And the reverse is true. If you have no loss, you could excite somewhere at that precise frequency. So localization, the reverse of localization could be focalization. You want to put energy somewhere. You excite here, of course, at a given frequency, if you have no loss, and then you'll find the energy focalized in some restricted region of space. Mm-hmm. So such a structure, any regular structure, is like a lens, let's say, in some sense, but a lens for a unique frequency. Okay, so if you want to compute the loss, you have to integrate over the perimeter of the surface the fact that a fraction of the energy is absorbed. And essentially, what happened is the following, because this is a philosophy, I mean, this is essential fact. Suppose you have a non-localized mode, so it's supposed to be spread everywhere. It could be a cosine function, okay? But so the losses are proportional to the perimeter, because you integrate over the perimeter, divided by the surface of the cavity. Why? Because psi, sum of psi square, psi square is really of order of 1 over s, the surface of existence. By definition, because when this is normalization, essentially. Okay? So the losses are proportional to perimeter divided by the surface. So if you have a non-localized mode, it's something like the inverse size of the box. And if you have a localized mode, the energy is only here, the losses are proportional to the 1 over the size of that small box, which contains the mode, essentially. So these are more lossy. So the localized modes are more dissipative than the non-localized mode. Now, this has been verified in an experiment. So this is a prefractal cavity. So you may make an experiment, and so you put a loudspeaker here and a microphone here, and you study the transition. And if you can make that for a rectangular box, a smooth normal resonator, or this prefractal resonator, and you find eigennodes and they fit with the computation. And from the widths, you can compute the losses, and everything fits with the computation we make. Now, so this true for fractal, is it really important that the thing is fractal or not fractal? In fact, no. Any kind of geometrical irregularity will give rise to some localization. Of course, we have no theorem about that, but this is an empirical fact. This is some very fractal defect in the square box. These are, you can see, so this is distribution of amplitude, like that, this is surprising, you know, you have only one mode, not all the modes are like that. If you induce disorder, so these are the teeth, these are disorder teeth, you see that you increase, consistent surface. So randomness is good for that. More localization, more damping for this mechanism. And even if you have a rough, a rough surface like that, you would have also this type of localization. I have many, many pictures in my computer.
Are these modes all at sort of similar frequencies?
Well, the scale of the frequency is the scale of the wavelength as compared to no, they are not, you know, because this is a half wavelength, let's say. And here, this is a half wavelength. So,
there are sort of theorems to this effect, at least in the context of Schrodinger equations. It's discrete. So if you have a finite bandwidth, you can prove that there's always localization at the tails, at the bandtails.
If you have disorder, yes, this is, sure. But the question is, a question of what creates this effect. Is it disorder or is it, disordered system have irregular geometry. So is a fact related to the other? Of course, in solid state physics, you have a system, it is disordered, you don't know the geometry, then you have this result. Here I'm speaking only of geometry, because you can build irregular geometry and use irregular geometry. So in fact, the role of disorder is not that of disorder. The disorder structure have irregular structure from this point of view. Of course, there are other kind of disorder in energy, something else. Okay. In physics, there are other type of
question. Is there a measure of the irregularity other than the factor dimension?
I'll come to that. Let me just show you a few pictures. Not all modes are localized. See, for some frequency in that structure, this mode, this is a surprise. You wouldn't guess that you have something which is positive here and negative in regions here. And this is another mode which is not organized. It lives everywhere. And you take a tooth like that in a region, in this part of the square, and you have a mode which is not localized, and at another frequency you find something which is localized.
They look like they're similar frequencies, right? If you look at the scale.
Yeah. This is, let's say, the results of numerical experimentation. Okay. We have no way to guess that at that frequency, in that given geometry, there would be localization or not. So this is a general fact. Whatever the geometry, you may have localization, but in the same geometry, some modes are localized and others are not. And there is even another effect. A few eigenmodes are repelled by the irregularity. So this is what we find here. Some modes are... you may have some qualitative arguments. So what is general? The tendency. The tendency is that this is the existent surface, or the relative existent surface. Surface of existence of the mode divided by the surface of the resonator. So if you make it more and more irregular, as you can see, so this is blue to green to red, the tendency is that you have more and more localization. Not all modes, these red triangles are not localized, but these are. And the tendency is more irregular, more localized. And as I told you, more localized means more absorption, increased losses. So this is a plot for the same geometry from blue to green to red. And this more irregular structure is more lossy for many modes than the blue structure. And the general tendency is something like an hyperbolic for each mode. Hidden is the frequency of the modes. You plot the as an axis the existence surface, so more localized goes this way, more localized increased damping. So the more irregular you make, the more damping you can have. Now you can say influence of the disorder. same number of tooth, same surface, but some randomness. You can see that increased dissipation, and this is related also to more localization, reduced existing surface. Now, these are is one mode in a resonator here. Now, it decreases here in this region, so this is a linear scale. So you, if you want to know a little more, you go to a log scale. So this is the same mode, but the amplitude is plotted in a log scale and colored. So the color codes the log of the amplitude. So this is what you find in a closed resonator. Now you can say, can we compute that in empty space? Does it exist? Yes, we can. So this is transparent boundary condition. And you have a mode which is more or less this, the same. I'm not sure this is the same exactly here. Perfect, yes. And you can plot the amplitude as a function of distance, like that or like that. And this is the log of the amplitude. So you see that these modes, decay here very slowly in space. Usually, strong localization in physics means exponential decay, and here it's more a power law decay, although it's very difficult to find numerically to make the thing big enough to check that. But this is a slow decay. This means that if you have a source here, it will be much more strongly coupled with this mode than as compared to an exponential decay in space where the amplitude here would be small. Okay, so now go to the next step in the approximation. Is this general even when you use non-small losses? So you put the loss in the equation at the beginning and you compute the complex eigenvalue, and the complex eigenvalue gives you the loss and then you can compute also the existing surface. And you can see now that when you go from smooth to irregular, the existence surface decreases. The green points are lower than the blue points. So this is true. This is not restricted to small loss approximation, to weak loss approximation. And of course, this corresponds also to increased dissipation. So whatever the strength of the surface dissipation, irregular system will absorb energy in a more efficient manner. So this is when we had that, and the experiment proving that our computations were dealing with real acoustic facts went to that company who built an absorbing noise barrier. So this is shown here. So if you want an efficient structure which is made of a poorly absorbing material, which absorbs something like 1%, you have to use a very, very, very complex structure. I mean, you can figure that, but this is not possible practically. Okay. Why? Because they want to build things using a mold. And you cannot buy in a shop a mold for a fractal cake, for instance, because it would break when you get the cake out of the mold. Of course, because you have a larger surface. So it's made of a material which is classical, which is a cement wood. So this is a small piece of wood, something like 5 to 8 millimeters. It's a macroporous material, which is known as an acoustic absorbent. And then, this was installed, is now in three locations in France. Okay. Now, if you want to measure that, to qualify the modes, you know, you have to qualify by numbers. So you have to make experiments in a room which is called a reverberant or reverberations chamber, and this was made. And you use a theory, and you measure absorption as a function of frequency. Okay. And from that, they want to have some, let's say, practical number in which you mix the absorption at a given frequency, because this is made for Rode. For a normalized, this is, sorry, this is, this should be green. This is a normalized traffic noise spectrum. This is the sensitivity of the ear, and this is the absorption. Then you mixed everything, and you make a sum of the several frequencies, and you find a number. And our number of the so-called fractal wall was 17 dB. This means that with this type of average, if you set some power on that wall, only 2% will be sent back. 98% of the acoustic energy will be absorbed. And the best, when we built that, the best on the European market was 11 dB. So really, this is a very efficient wall barrier absorption. Now, it's now trademark. So is it fractal? I mean, we use more or less Falconer, you know, so we take a cut and we measure the box dimension within a size of that order, and we find that the effective, something like the equivalent fractal dimension would be 2.4, something like that. Okay, now, what I described was absorption on the wall. But this material does not absorb on the wall itself, the acoustic wave penetrates. So how do we understand that now? I mean, these are very new results. Because the general problem of diffraction by a structure which is both irregular in geometry and absorptive is an open problem. This is a theory that you would need to build from theory what is called anechoic chambers, you know. And these anechoic chambers are built, in fact, empirically. It's a recipe how to have an efficient, because the main problem is still unsolved. But I might give you some hints of.
What does it mean, anechoic?
Anechoic means that any sound is absorbed. So it's made with this very irregular acoustic mousse, you know, like, and of course, I mean, this is practically very important for experimenting acoustic and also in electromagnetics, if you want to have, okay, so there is interest into that. So, we don't treat that problem. We study the property of eigenmodes of a shallow cavity, which is partially filled with a dissipative now medium, so it's not the wall, but the medium is dissipative. And we watch how the losses depend on the shape at constant quantity of material. So this is in the rows, is the volume of the material is the same here, here, and here. Only the shape is modified. So we want to solve always the same equation, but now there is a medium with a lossless medium. Here it's air, let's say, for acoustics. But in the dissipative medium, we have a complex index of refraction, so this number is now complex. And we have to find the eigenvalue of this problem now.
Sorry, what are the spots?
Sorry,
the red spots and the green spots.
Oh, this, everything will be colored for the, this is a, let's say the smooth, this is the first irregularity, this is the, this is a, just a code. In the next, everything which will be red, sorry, will concern this geometry. Okay. It should be here. So we have to use the correct boundary condition between the two medium. So for an acoustic cavity, this is written here. For an electromagnetic cavity, it's written here, the electric field is continuous at the surface. Always this is for shallow cavities. Now, the interest is that in the acoustic cavity at the exterior here, it obeys Neumann boundary condition on the frontier of the cavity. And in the electromagnetic cavity, it obeys Dirichlet boundary condition. So it is just another case. Sorry. Now, take the smooth cavity, you compute. When you find two sets of eigenvalue, real eigenvalue, which are very close to the, sorry, which are very close to the eigenvalue you would find in that lossless medium, if you would consider only this cavity, and it's a complex eigenvalue which corresponds to the eigenvalue in that volume. So there is, let's say, in some sense, two sets of eigenvalue and little interference. Okay. So we can do that. I mean, this has been done for a specific Mohs acoustics. This is an example. You don't care for this number. So this is more or less the same. So these are the modes, let's say, in the air. This would be the modes in the air rigorously. Of course, there is some imaginary component because of some little interaction. And this would be the modes here. So this would be the theory. Air, real eigenvalues, and this would be the theory for this porous material effect would be by itself. And there is some interaction. Now, if you go to more complex, what you see, you forget for that just now, it's the power, my problem with power. you find now more eigenvalues between here and here. And even more when you go to a more irregular structure. And now if you watch, so these modes still live in the air. These modes still live in the lossy material, but you have what I call a stride localization. Modes which live both in the air and both in the lossy material. Because the problem is if you want to absorb material, these modes are no good. Why? Because you excite here. You have a strong coupling, but little dissipation because they don't see the dissipative material. These modes are highly dissipative, but if you excite here, you have little coupling with these modes. So neither these or these are good. So those who are good are the astride localization modes. And as time goes by, we can find, let's say, something which measures the number of the average of is this character really increasing from that geometry to that? Yes, it is increasing in a naive description of the absorption property, which takes care of the amplitude here times the imaginary component of the eigenvalue. You'll find that what I call a dissipative damping index, it increases more or less linearly from that geometry to that geometry to that geometry. So really even with a loss in the volume, an irregular geometry is favorable. So let me just mention you an extraordinary experiment made by a high school student in Toulouse, two young girls, 17. So I don't know, they learned somewhere that this fractal world. So they took, this is styrofoam, okay?
Styrofoam.
Is that, okay, styrofoam and absorbing.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry, some of the, in French, so they go from a flat to a first generation, second and third generation, classical Sierpinski carpet. And they measure, in fact, they have a sources which is called a clap. This is what Peter Jones is doing when he wants it back. Okay, so there is a machine with that, so it gives some impulse. And they measure here. they put a microphone here behind. And what they see is the following. Some no fractal, first generation, second generation, third generation. So what is really extraordinary, you have an absorbing material. You take out, you have less material, but it's more efficient. This is in fact a very interesting fact in itself. Now let me show you just to, now, if you want on the field, how do they do the experiment? I watched such an experiment. You take a gun, a real gun, and pop. And so the sound waves go like that. You put a microphone, you measure the wave when it goes in, and it's reflected or and or absorbed. So when it comes back, it's smaller. It's a way to measure the absorption. This works. It makes some experiment. So let's watch now the numerics of that. So this represents the gunshot and the propagation. And you compare a flat structure and an irregular structure. So it repeats. So what you see? Let's go to the next. Okay, it goes there. Some is absorbed because this is absorption material and goes back. But here, it seems to be trapped in the irregular structure. In terms of wave, I mean, I have no language to describe that. But in terms of rays, let me, and this is a question, perhaps a mathematical question itself. Suppose you have a shape. This is a shape. You have here absorption in this material, and if you have absorption, you have refraction too. So an incoming ray is deflected here. Here perhaps you have reflection, comes like that. But it may be that from some angle and from index, you have internal reflection. Okay. So the ray may be trapped inside the structure. Now the mathematical question is there an optimal geometry to trap rays? To have the longest path in the absorbing material? And this is a question.